In Tunisia today, interim leaders are holding talks to try and form a unity government after a month of violent protests toppled the government there. 2 days ago, Tunisia's president fled the country. Many reasons are being cited for his overthrow, but many credit the internet and young, educated bloggers, tweeters, and Facebook users for bringing down the regime. Eleanor Beardsley is in the Tunisian capital of Tunis and sends this report.
The streets of Tunis were calmer Sunday morning as people ventured out and seemed to go about their daily business. Just around the corner from Avenue Habib Bourguiba, where massive demonstrations forced President Zine El Abidine Ben Ali from office Friday, crowds of mostly middle-aged men drank coffee and watched Al Jazeera television at the Alibaba Cafe. Upstairs, several young people click away on computers in the cafe's internet room. The government had attempted to control the internet by blocking sites like YouTube. Nevertheless, the web played a principal role in the Tunisian people's revolution. Salwa Daloumi is a computer engineer, but like many educated young Tunisians, she didn't have the political connections to get a job. So she used her skills elsewhere. Daloumi says President Ben Ali tried to block the cell phone videos of the first killings of protesters in the south of the country.
He make a firewall to filter this video. But we can make upload and we can download it in the laptop, and after we give it to the people.
Daloumi says those videos were the Tunisian people's connection with reality. They soon spread like wildfire and were picked up by global cable networks BBC World and Al Jazeera. No one here trusts the Tunisian media, says Daloumi. She calls the state television a complete joke. Indeed, on Friday, when demonstrations and riots engulfed Tunis, the official channel played music and aired call-in chat shows, never even mentioning what was going on in the streets. Outside, 50,000 protesters had gathered on Tunis's main avenue, chanting Ben Ali leave and singing the national anthem. Mohamed Ben Hazouz is a blogger and software engineer. He says Friday's massive demonstrations were completely organized on the internet. He calls what happened in Tunisia the world's first cybernet revolution.
Everyone in Tunisia was connected to the internet, to the site of the bloggers, to the site of Facebook, to Twitter, to organize the revolution.
The protests that toppled the Tunisian government were set off when a young man set himself on fire in desperation after the government took away his only livelihood, a fruit stand. As the protests began to spread, the Tunisian internet agency ramped up its attempts at controlling it. They even began hauling bloggers into police custody. But government authorities were no match for Tunisia's tech-savvy youth, says Claire Spencer, a Middle East specialist at London-based think tank Chatham House.
I think there is definitely a generation who've understood the technology of how to circumvent banned websites. The moment something is banned, somebody in this country is breaking through it and going around it. So it's been counterproductive in recent years in terms of a control strategy.
Spencer says other dictatorships in the region, like Tunisia's next-door neighbor Libya, must clearly be nervous at what's going on. This morning, cable news showed President Muammar Gaddafi warning his citizens that Tunisia was in such chaos that people risked being slaughtered in their beds. Spencer says the ouster of dictators in places like Libya and Egypt may not be imminent, but she feels changes are on the horizon.
This is a generation that is educated, is well-informed, that will be more demanding of their rights to participate, to have a civic role in their state and not to sit through gerrymandered elections and lack of participation in the economy.
Tunisians say they're proud that the world's eyes are upon them and for being the first country to tweet out a tyrant. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Tunis.